This week, we've been interviewing candidates for Attorney General. On Morning Edition, we heard Democrat Dana Nessel and Republican Tom Leonard. On Stateside earlier this week, we heard the independent candidate, Chris Grevlin. And today, we're talking with the Libertarian candidate for Attorney General, Lisa Lane Gioia. Welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me.
So let's start off with how you would run the office of the Attorney General. There's been a fair amount of time and effort spent to oppose federal government actions when the president is from the opposite party. Will you be joining lawsuits against the feds when the administration does something that goes against your party's principles?
First of all, let's go back to the party's principles. The Libertarian Party has two major principles, and that's the non-aggression principle, which is don't hurt people and don't take their stuff, and the principle of self-ownership, which is live and let live. Those are basic rights. We all have basic rights to property, life, and freedom and everything like that. And that's what the law is. The law is designed to protect those. So the idea of putting political bias into this role, into this office that should not be biased in the least bit, in order to use it, in order to play with it, in order to kick a political football around, is disgusting to me. It's the application of the law in defense of the citizens. That's what the AG is supposed to be doing.
On your website, you indicate providing a check and balance against overreach by the governor and the legislature is a duty of the attorney general. Can you give me an example of the kind of overreach you've seen from them?
Well, this is just an example. Look at our auto insurance. It's disgusting, isn't it? And at the end of 2017, they tried to get a bill through, pushing a bill through, trying to get some auto insurance reform. It failed. So what did Mike Duggan do? Mike Duggan brought a lawsuit up against this. Now, this is actually something that the legislators should have done. They should be looking out for the people, but they're not. They're paid for by special interests, and a lot of those special interests are paying for to maintain the system that we currently have. So in this case, with this lawsuit that Mike Duggan has brought about, I would tend to try to be looking at this in a way that would favor the citizens and in favor more freedom for the citizens and in determining whether, in fact, this is a violation of the Constitution. Because if the legislators aren't doing anything, then it's up to someone else to protect the people. And that's what the AG can do.
Proposal 1 is on the ballot. Some law enforcement personnel around the state have been stating legalizing recreational use of marijuana would be a bad step for Michigan. What are your views on the proposal, and what should happen if marijuana use continues to be a criminal offense?
You know what? I never even considered that it would continue. I am assuming, perhaps naively, I'm trusting in the intelligence of the Michigan public in passing this proposal. The war on drugs has been a horrible failure. Prohibition is not working. What we're ending up with is ghettoizing our urban areas. You're ending up prosecuting people for use of a plant that has known medicinal benefits in seizures and PTSD and weaning people from opiate addictions. So I had just assumed that it would pass because of the general trend of people towards more sanity. We've seen it happen in Colorado. Look what happened to our neighbors north and south of us in Canada. So if it does not pass, I suppose a continuation of the laws, which I am not happy about, but hopefully it will pass, and hopefully we will have the right to be able to choose what to do with our bodies and to not have laws that force our quote-unquote morals on other people.
The 65-year-old Enbridge Line 5 pipeline that lies on the bottom of the Straits of Mackinac will continue to operate while plans move ahead forward for an underground tunnel, which could take years if it's actually pursued. What, if anything, would you do about Line 5 in the meantime?
What we hear, and this is just wonderful, so typical from the right, who probably, if you looked at their PACs and everything, they might be getting a little bit of money from petroleum companies, is it's fine, don't worry. And from the left, it's shut it down automatically. You've got these two diametrically opposed extreme partisan views. This is what I would do. Right now, I'm looking at a pipeline assessment. This is from 2016 from the La Montagne Pipeline Assessment Corporation. And what they did in their overview, they were looking at the criticality of any circumferential or girth weld crack-like anomalies, including potential interactions with metal loss or dents, and they were looking for circumferentially oriented cracking. Now, this is what the Office of the AG should be doing. Investigating this. You've got a team of investigators there. You don't just throw this very important issue into a political machine. This is a matter of physics. This is a matter of science. Look at the facts. And each case that's brought before the office should be treated as this. Look at the facts. Look at the statistics. And then make an informed judgment without bias on the basis of facts in consideration of what the potential will be. Yes, if we keep it open, is there a potential of an environmental disaster? I don't know. Let's look at the structural deficiencies of it. If we shut it down, what would the economic impacts be? That you have to consider as well. Those are all thrown under the bus for politicians who aren't really concerned about that, who are just concerned about a nice soundbite.
Governor Snyder has asked Attorney General Bill Schuette to file a lawsuit against 3M, one of the manufacturers of a product containing PFAS chemicals. Those chemicals are contaminating drinking water and fish in different spots across the state, more than 50. So far, Schuette has not filed a suit against 3M. What would you do if a governor asked you to do something like that?
Again, same thing. This is the first I've ever heard of it. So go through the facts. It comes down to the facts. It doesn't matter what the governor says. If the governor recommends something, of course. I mean, this would be a serious problem if proven true. So let's take a look at this. Also, when we say let's take a look at this, you're talking about calling in a lot of – there are investigators at the office, of course, but a lot of money is going to be spent in commissioning studies and stuff like that. Look what we've got here. We've got U of M. We've got MSU. We have CMU, EMU. We have, better than anything, Michigan Tech, Ferris, Northwood. These institutions that we have, why couldn't their professors assign to their students a project of simulation – of studying of what's going on in here? We could accumulate so much more data this way and get our students involved in this process too. But again, it's on the basis of a consideration of facts. And these are scientific, statistical, mathematical, physical facts. Politics has nothing to do with it.
In this state, LGBTQ folks can legally be discriminated against. You can't, as Attorney General, change the Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act to include LGBTQ folks. Only legislature and the governor can do that. But there are opportunities for the Attorney General to issue opinions when there's a question of interpreting the law. How do you view the LGBTQ civil rights issue?
Considering all of the subsets, groups that are protected under Elliot Larson, it just makes sense to include the LGBT community in there. And so to me, I know this sounds strange, but to me, discriminating against someone for their race, for their religion, for their sexual preference, to me, makes about as much sense as discriminating against them because of their zodiac sign. It just doesn't make sense. I want to know the individual. I want to know who you are. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't think that way, and that's the role of the law to protect them. So yes, I would be coming down on the side, to the extent that the Constitution allows, in favor of a more open society. But again, you're bound by the Constitution. So the best thing that the AG could do in this situation is say, hey, bring it to the public's attention. Bring it to the legislators' attention. This is not right. What are you going to do about it? Fix it. Fix it. Amend Elliot Larson. Why shouldn't these groups be included?
Law enforcement can seize money and property suspected of being gotten through illegal gains. The agencies get the proceeds of the seized property. There might never be a conviction or even charges filed. The people who own it have to go through an arduous legal process to get their property back under civil asset forfeiture. What do you think of that as a tool of law enforcement?
I'm sorry, I don't even know how to answer that other than a little bit of vomit coming up in my throat. I mean, come on, this is a violation of the Constitution. You can't do that. You cannot seize assets unless someone was convicted of a crime. And it's being done. And that is something that's definitely going to have to change.
Lisa Lane Gioia is the Libertarian candidate running for Attorney General. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.